Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph, Jay, Erdo, Trisha, Eric. Happy birthday again.
Thank you.
And this is a song
that
my brother knew when he was in the Army in the Civil War. I think it was 1847. He was married 17 times to hold the record.
Was he Confederate or?
No, he was from France.
So he was French. I thought that was the revolutionary one.
Oui, oui, monsieur.
Wow. Now, actually,
oh,
it's,
the revolution. Oh,
it is
maybe
the Coast
it was.
Guard marching song Semper Paratus in honor
Who?
Of our Semper Paratus.
What does that mean?
Always
something.
Oh, Always? That was a good movie, by the way. Always. Richard Dreyfuss. I loved it.
Two comments before we bring our guest on.
Okay.
I want to let our everyone
people
know that we are streaming live on stream, stre.am/breakradioshow. Big shout out to Hannah Marie. Thank you again for tuning in. She's a bartender. She says, bar story, I had three men dressed in women's clothes start a fight. Granted, they weren't very strong looking. They cleaned out the entire bar. I bought their tab for the night. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
What bar is that at? I'm going.
It's in Pennsylvania, so
you
have to take.
How are you going to dress those?
Yeah, are you going to dress in women's clothing? I've worn women's clothing before.
Tell us about that.
No, in bars for Halloween and stuff.
No, tell us about that.
She says it's actually in Maryland, the bars.
Yeah, but you probably put the clothing on before you left. Went to the bar.
It was.
Was it convincing?
No.
By the way, Joseph, there's an app. If you need therapy, there's an app. It's $1.99 a month, and you can get therapy over your phone.
Oh, excellent!
Wow, really? Who does that?
I don't know. I just found it yesterday. I was like, oh, my God,
well,
really?
Why didn't you forward it to me? Jeez.
You need that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. but I forgot my other comment about the Coast Guard. Of course, we reviewed the finest hours in our last segment. Dave gave it 4 stars. Trisha gave it 4 stars. I gave it 4 stars. I absolutely love this movie. You've got to check it out. It just opened yesterday. And right now we are speaking with the Association of someone from the Association for Rescue at Sea, Wayne Spivak. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Semper Paratus means always ready.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, excellent.
I was looking to see because I didn't know that. Paratus is ready. Okay,
and
very
now,
good.
I remembered what I was going to say. And Wayne, I'm sure you know what this is, but I'm going to ask Dave and Trisha first. What does SOS stand for?
Save our ship, save our souls.
Okay, thank you very much, Eric.
Thanks. Yeah. There's different meanings.
No, there's two.
Save our ship was originally, right, Wayne?
Truthfully, I'm not sure, but they're both accurate.
Okay.
And with the turnoff of Morse code for the rescue services, you're not going to hear that much anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right. Well, before we
hear... ...
Before we hear what you thought about the movie, Wayne, tell us a little bit about the Association for Rescue at Sea.
The Association for Rescue at Sea, AFRAS.org, is its website. Our mission is twofold. One is to congratulate and award heroism awards to enlisted members of the Coast Guard, members of the Coast Guard Auxiliary, members of the AMVIR system, which is the Automated Mutual Assistance Rescue System, which is for commercial tankers and vessels, and other individuals involved in search and rescue. We have about 3 or 4 other awards we give out. And the winners the last couple of years of the Gold Award, which is for the enlisted personnel, have actually been rescue swimmers.
Oh, wow. And, we have to, first of all, thank everyone in the Coast Guard and everyone who helps people who are, you know, need rescuing at sea, and in these situations like the Finest Hours, I think that's one thing among many things that the Finest Hours does. It shows us the bravery that these men have, and that they're
and
risking
women.
Their and women. Yes, I'm sorry that they are risking their lives. I mean, seriously, in this movie, Wayne, we just finished saying how much we absolutely love this movie. What did you think?
I really liked it, too. I thought it was very well done. I saw it last night in IMAX 3D.
Oh.
So it was very exciting. It really shows that the Coast Guard is always ready to go out and try to save lives and or property. And that was, as the movie showed, is still considered one of the best small boat rescues in the Coast Guard.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was just surprised that that small boat, when Chris Pine and you know, a couple other characters were boarding that. I mean, there was four of them, right, that were getting on that small boat. I was thinking, you know, there's way too many people that they're trying to rescue for this small boat, and we don't want to reveal exactly how many and what the outcome is and everything like that, but is that typically what happens? They go out on a small boat to rescue that many people, Wayne?
It depends where the rescue occurs.
Okay.
Small boat stations are situated along the coast from Maine all the way around through the Gulf up to Washington State. And the small boat vessels that the Coast Guard have now have a range that they can go out. You know, there's a fuel range, there's an endurance range. So it's possible that if a boat was floundering today 10, 15, 20 miles off the coast, that a small boat, and today most of ours are 47-footers, and when I say ours, the Coast Guard, would go out to do the rescue, as along with other assets, be they cutters, which are in the Coast Guard is anything greater than 65 feet, or helicopters or jets. We also have C-130s. So any rescue is going to get a combination of assets depending on what the situation calls for, as well as what assets are available at the time.
Now, you just said C-130s. You're talking about the Hercules aircraft?
Yeah, we fly C-130s, and they're able to drop water pumps and other equipment out of the plane.
Yeah, because those are huge. I was sitting here trying to figure out how you guys would be able to use those. Now, I am curious, because I assumed that the small boat was needed to go out because of the fact that the smaller the boat, the lower underwater profile, or I don't know if that's the right word to use, but
well, it's called draft.
Draft,
and,
okay.
Right. Most small boats have around a 6-foot draft. The larger the boat could be, the larger the draft. Obviously, cutters have much bigger, deeper drafts. I don't know what they are off the top of my head.
Yeah, but for somebody to be trying to go out over a bar in that type of weather and everything, the smaller with the lower draft may have been their best option. Is that right?
Right. Also, they're going to station, theoretically, boats that can make it over the bar from a Coast Guard station that has a bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, the larger cutters are going to be through deep channel ports.
Now, I do want to say one thing that in the movie they say, it's said so many times, and I'm going to try to do it in their accent, you know, we got to go over the bar, we got to go over the bar. What is the bar, Wayne?
A bar is a underwater shelf or mountain. It's usually sand, but it could be coral or something else that sits, pops up. So you have deep water on either side of it, sort of like a little island that's submerged, or an islet.
Okay. And so going over that is especially risky because of the potential for waves, or is it just...
Well, you have two risks.
Okay.
Depending on the currents and the wave action, when the wave or the current hits the bar, it's going to bunch up the water. And then you have very big waves, and they crash over it, sort of like when they hit land.
Mm-hmm.
And with a mixed sea, you can have the both sides being hit by waves, which makes it extremely difficult to transit the bar. Also, your water drops out. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you might have water underneath your vessel, which is 10 feet. And if you have a 6-foot draft, you have no problems. And all of a sudden, it drops out, and you have 2 feet of water, and now you're high and dry. And both situations can cause your vessel to pitch pole, which is where you bury typically the bow and you flip over, you know, end to end, or broaches when you go side to side, or any combination thereof. And those are very, very dangerous situations. Coast Guard vessels are able to self-right, which means if they go over, they will automatically pop up the way the boat should be. Most vessels are not self-righting, and they will not pop up, and that's why they go down.
So that that being able to pop back up and self-righting, was that accurate in this film for that time period? Because that was one of the things I thought about, was when they're actually looking like they're diving down into the water. I mean, they're not going down, obviously, but the water is coming over them. So that was accurate, huh?
As far as I know, that was a very well done, accurate representation of the vessel.
Because that just absolutely amazed me. Now, I did not see it in 3D. Joseph did, and because of the darkness of the scenes and everything, he didn't care for the 3D version of it. But I just loved the film, and I just felt like what I saw, I'm thinking what I would do if I was on a surfboard or you know, something like that. And just the way he manipulated that boat was absolutely incredible to my non-mariner eyes.
Yeah, in today's Coast Guard, we have coxswains, which mm-hmm. is what basically Chris Pine played, Bernie Miller. We also have surfmen. And surfmen go through a very rigorous course of instruction out in, I believe it's Oregon, where the surf and the bar there is really horrific. And you're the creme de la creme of small boat operators to be a surfman.
Wow.
Well, I want to remind our listeners, if anyone is just now joining us, we are speaking with Wayne Spivak. He's with the Association for Rescue at Sea. Of course, the movie just opened yesterday, The Finest Hours. We all just loved it here in studio.
And it's Wave a true, it's, yeah. true story that's actually portrayed in a true way, which is awesome, about a phenomenal Coast Guard rescue back in 1952.
Yeah, were you familiar with that story? I you probably were, but Wayne, were you much familiar with that?
I had read a little bit about it, and just, you know, looking at the history of the Coast Guard and some of the awards they gave out. All the men on the crew got the U.S. Coast Guard Gold Lifesaving Award, which is the highest award you could get in the Coast Guard for a non-military rescue.
Wow.
And they're not handed out willy-nilly. And obviously, these men deserved it. I mean, what they went through to save the lives and the number of lives they saved was just, you know, beyond heroic.
Well, it's just, I mean, even it's snowing at one part in the movie, and they are going very fast on the small ship, and, you know, it's raining, and they're wet, and it's got to be terribly cold. I mean, just...
I figured they were all suffering from hypothermia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just psychologically, that's got to be really tough as well. So, I mean, just our respect goes out to all these people
and
that
no
do
compass.
This.
No compass.
Oh, no compass. Yeah.
Yeah, which is not a spoiler alert because it was on every single trailer.
That's right. Yeah, I figured it was okay that I said that.
Yeah.
Now, what is for because you said that you had you'd heard a little bit about this story, but what is there a more recent, more timely example of an at sea rescue that either you've been involved in or that is part of the lore of the Coast Guard and the rescue at sea operations?
Well, again, I was not directly involved in any of these rescues. I was part of the organization, but Hurricane Katrina is probably something that sticks in the minds of everybody because it was on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had a disaster that was unbelievable, and you had the Coast Guard going in with its helicopters, with its small boats, with its men and women, rescuing people. I mean, that, you know, and the Coast Guard in active duty has maybe 30,000 people. The New York City Police Department's larger.
Wow.
Wow. Well, and I mean, and then a scale of a disaster like, you know, Katrina drops your jaw. No?
Well, and I was always thinking about, you know, what we didn't see, because we were seeing what was happening in the cities where they could get those cameras out. I was expecting that there were probably people out on the water or even on the oil rigs and things like that out there that were being pummeled and possibly rescued as well.
I believe so. Again, I don't remember anymore, but I do know that there were units going up and down the Mississippi because there was a tremendous amount of damage. There was a tremendous environmental impact, as you know, with oil leaks, and it was extremely chaotic for many weeks. And remember, Admiral Thad Allen, who was later the commandant, was the principal federal official on it, as he was on the Deepwater Horizon.
Okay. Well, now, you know, one of the lines in the film, which also this is not a spoiler alert because I saw it on the trailer, was where Chris Pine's character says, it only says we have to go out. We don't have to come back. And I was seeing, after we saw this movie, we met a family that was there whose grandson and nephew is now in the Coast Guard. He just finished his training. And I said, well, if I was related to him, and I feel now like I'm related to all those young men and women that are out there with the Coast Guard, I want to change that and say, you have to go out, but you also have to come back in, because we don't want to lose all of these wonderful people who are self-sacrificing and go out in these dangerous situations in order to save others. And I think that is incredible that you're involved in such a fantastic organization to rescue people at sea and to be able to put others' needs and safety sometimes ahead of your own.
Thank you. And the men and women of the Coast Guard, I mean, there was a lot of urban legend with that motto, you have to go out and don't have to come back. Obviously, lifesavers are not going to do anybody any good if they get themselves killed. Mm-hmm. So today, members of the Lifesaving Service and the Coast Guard have always been willing to put themselves in the line of danger to help somebody. But and sometimes, unfortunately, they pay the ultimate price for that. But today, you know, it's safety for the rescuers. And again, if you're going to go out and not come back in, then who did you service?
True. And we also have to think about the families and loved ones of these people. You know, in our last segment, I was praising Holiday Grainger, saying, you know, what a talented actress she is. The character is just wonderful. You know, she's beautiful as well. And, I mean, she just demonstrates the pain that someone goes through waiting for their loved one who's going out to rescue and, you know, risking their life.
Yeah. And that's a pain that's felt by every family member of someone in the armed forces.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, finally, Wayne Spivak, Association for Rescue at Sea. Now, when people see The Finest Hours, they're going to have so many additional questions. I think in addition to being entertained, their curiosity is going to be piqued. Give us some resources. What can people look up online in addition to today's wonderful interview?
Well, they can Google Coast Guard history.
Okay.
They can Google Coast Guard Gold Medal winners or awardees. They can come to our webpage and look at some of the Coast Guard men and Coast Guard auxiliaries and ships of amber and other individuals who are in search and rescue that we issue awards for heroism. And they can read their stories. And one thing I didn't finish off, the second mission of AFRAS is to provide financial assistance to voluntary Coast Guards, and we have a particular interest down in the Caribbean, so that when men and women from the U.S. go to the Caribbean, you know, and they go out on boats, there's something there to rescue them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well,
what an incredible
service!
It is.
It's just great what you know these people do. And so again, Wayne Spivak, Association for Rescue at Sea. We thank you so much for taking your time this Saturday to tell us a little bit about some real rescues at sea and about some background behind the Coast Guard and background behind the finest hours. It truly is some finest hours.
I actually have a greater appreciation now, having heard that was not just dramatic license being used in that boat going under all those waves and under all that water and self-righting. That's amazing to me now. I really thought it was dramatic license.
Yeah, Wayne, you know, thank you so much for helping us celebrate this release and, you know, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Well, thank you very much and thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, again, great movie, The Finest Hours, or as Disney's now dubbing it, The Finest Hours, The Impossible Rescue. It truly is an impossible rescue. You've got to see this for yourself. Great cast. And again, Holiday Grainger, if you're out there listening, will you marry me?
Oh, wow.
Nice. Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. And on that note, we'll hear a little bit from Jerry Bryant and the Starboard Mess from Master and Commander. Don't forget your old shipmate. Of course, an old sea shanty, right?
What's a shanty?
It's a sea song.
What's a shanty?
Well, there's a couple of different... Yeah.
It's a little shack.
I thought a shanty was like a little shack or something.
That's what I thought. So, Joseph, it's a shack.
I think he meant Diddy.
Wally, 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 Wally.
Here, finish this. Shack, what's your last...
O'Neill.
And shack, word association. Shack.
What?
Shack down. Shack up. You're right. Did you say...
Shack.
Up shack. No, shack up.
Shack.
Shack. All right, that's enough for you. All right, this is Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
We have worked the selfsame gun, quarter deck division, sponger I and loader you through the whole commission.